The following is intended for mature audiences only. Discretion is advised.
Welcome to another episode of We're Done Here. Thank you for joining us this week. Please make sure to like and subscribe on wherever you listen to this podcast, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast. I don't know where you listening, but do it there. You know what I'm saying? Thank you so much. But today we're here with our guest, Gus Cusintelis.
Hello, hello.
Oh, and also the studio looks different. They're doing things different. We have chairs now. It's different.
It's cute.
It used to be.
It's cozy.
We used to have like a desk, and now we have velvet chairs. Yeah,
but there's this cute little thing
that is very cute. Yeah.
Hello, hello.
Yeah. So,
is this fake or real?
That's definitely fake. That's
fake. Whatever.
That's definitely fake.
You know what? It looks real, and that's all that matters.
That's true.
Truly
it's very real. Yeah. So Gus is a New York City comedian, also a native New Yorker, which you know is rare if you listen to this podcast, from Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
Super duper funny, hilarious, has like, I don't know, you have like, I don't know, a million followers? I don't know.
No, not even close, but yeah.
Anyway, he's famous to me. Tell the guests about yourself, Gus.
Well, I don't know. I'm known as like the Greek guy, I guess.
Yeah.
Probably the thing I'm probably known for. Or like I do a lot of New Yorker stuff, but mostly the Greek thing. And I have, you know, a lot of Greek followers who are very great. I love them. And yeah, I do a lot of TikTok content.
Well, I'm from Astoria. As you know, it's a Greek neighborhood.
Yeah.
So one time I was doing a show and then like it was deep in Brooklyn during the pandemic. And
yes.
Like a bunch of Greek people came and they never come to any of my shows.
They would never come to Bushwick. Yeah.
Greek people would never come
to Bushwick. In fact, like there was this big Greek concert recently at the Barclay Center in downtown Brooklyn.
Oh, really?
And afterwards I was like, because I live right next to downtown Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I live right next to the Barclay Center.
Yeah.
So I started hitting up people like, hey, like, let me know what you're doing afterwards for the after party, because I thought they would stay local.
Yeah.
Every Greek person went to Astoria that
night. Yeah, of course.
I was like, are you kidding me?
No. First of all, Astoria has all the restaurants, all the Greek places.
I know. Greek people, man. They're crazy. They love Astoria.
I mean, they really do. And I grew up there. I don't know why I was a black girl in Astoria, but whatever. that is my life. But no, I love that. So you've been doing comedy for a while, though.
Yeah, probably like 8 or 9 years at this point.
Awesome. Super duper funny, super talented.
Thank you.
Just doing tons of stuff. And then how did you get into comedy? Because I have no idea how you even got into it.
Oh, I actually did it. I did a talent show when I was at NYU.
Really?
And I had never done stand-up.
You went to NYU?
Yeah, I went to NYU.
Oh, that's so weird for a New York City Greek kid.
I know. I had a full ride, actually.
Oh my God,
so I have
you're
no
smart.
Debt. I know. That's my one thing with Biden, where people like keep complaining about the debt thing. I'm like, yes. I agree, but I really don't know that struggle.
You're super smart to get a full ride from New
York. I was a good kid. I was a smart little kid. Yeah.
Oh.
I was that bitch in high school. Yeah.
Yes.
I was in all the extracurriculars. I did not want to go home. Like I was in school like 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Like I was pulling 12 hours in high school.
Everybody must be so proud of you.
No, not really.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. No, because my brothers didn't really do the college thing like that. So my dad didn't even know. And then one year, like years later, he calls me and he's like, Gus, is college NYU really that expensive? And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I heard someone next to me at dinner the other day talking $200,000 in debt.
Yeah.
NYU, but what about you? And I was like, no. And he was like, oh, really? And I was like, you are literally shocked 6 years later? Like, whatever, man.
That's
so
classic immigrant parents.
It's classic.
Like not paying attention.
Yeah, I just did my thing. I like got all my little scholarships in order in line
because
I knew what
amazing.
I was doing at that point. I was doing their healthcare form, so I knew how to do a scholarship application.
Got it.
You know, so it was pretty easy. So, so I went to NYU and then I did a talent show when I was at NYU and I did stand up and I won the semifinals, so I got to go to the finals.
Oh, my God.
And I had never done stand up, so I was like, let me just tell this stupid story about the subway and like another story, and it went well. And I did the finals and then I lost.
Okay. Do you remember
some singer? It's always a singer.
Oh yeah, people love
it. Was
singing.
A talent
yeah,
show.
Yeah, no one cares about comedy when
she
you sing.
She sang some Adele song and it was it. You know what I mean? What are you gonna
Adele,
do?
That's like too much. Okay, yeah.
You can't sing Adele. Okay,
no.
And then what?
And she was good too.
They're gonna laugh at my little jokes.
Yeah.
Oh, you little do your little bits. She has the voice of an angel.
No. Then so, she's doing hello. No,
hello.
You had no.
So I lost
chance.
And but then after I moved to LA and I decided like a year
you
later.
You lived in LA?
Yeah, I lived in LA.
I don't know anything about this.
Oh, yeah.
This interview's for me.
So a year after, well, not a year after college, right after college, I moved to LA. A year after that, I really started doing stand-up in LA.
Oh.
Like, really doing it. And then I just, like, did not like LA, so I moved back.
That's a horrible place.
Not for me.
No.
Not for me, baby. I don't like cars. I don't like driving.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like car culture. No. I know America is all car culture all the time. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm going to leave it in my car, but not for me. I want trains. I want high-speed trains everywhere.
Me, too. Same.
Like, the fact that they're, like, giving... they're charging people $12 to drive into the city. I'm like, yeah, drive them out.
I mean, I heard they're doing that.
Did you know that? Yeah, I think it's crazy.
That's crazy.
I think it's crazy, but also I'm like, kick them out. Yeah, we don't need cars, but whatever.
No, yeah, but the Uber's like half and half.
They shouldn't be charging people.
No, $12.
That's
ridiculous.
$12. They started it at $12. It's only gonna go up from
this
here.
It's a racket. It's a whole racket.
It's a racket. It's crazy. Racket.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's how I started doing stand-up. And then I moved back to New York with, like, a real intention to, like, hit stand-up really hard.
Oh, my God. I had no idea about that. I love that. I love your little not little oranges story, but, like, your origin tale. Because I had no idea you went to NYU or you were in L.A. None of this.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Great. Well, this is We're Done Here Pod. So it's an emotional wellness comedy podcast, as you guys know. So every week we dive into a different topic. And this week we're going to talk about a topic that we've talked about before, but from a different landscape. Gus, are you okay with me sharing your mom recently passed away?
My mom did pass away recently, about four or five months ago at this point. Just fresh.
super fresh. So please, if you need a Kleenex, anything you don't want to talk about. The special thing about Gus is he really shared his mom with us. A lot of his content was about his mom. And then your mom was so funny because she was like every relatable mother.
Yeah.
It's just super entertaining. It's like we all felt that we knew her, like, I don't know, kind of thing, because you shared so much. And the content was just hilarious, super funny.
Thank you for that.
Like, what inspired you to even start sharing about your mom in that way? And
well, I don't know. I mean, she was always funny. She was just, like, part of my bits. But even, like, the first jokes that I wrote were, like, about my family and about her. Like, I remember, like, even that set NYU, like, there was a joke about my mom in there. So it was, like, it's, like, one of those things where you're, like, she was always part of it. And then it just grew from there. I started impersonating her at first. And then I started posting, like, actual videos of her. And people just were, like, went apeshit for her.
It's so good. It's
she
so
was
funny.
Just so funny. And, like, at first it was, like, you know, I was definitely, like, she was, like, shocked that someone was filming her. And you could tell she was like, there's a camera on me. And then eventually it became like, oh, I would film her and she would have like, I couldn't get her to like, you have to understand, like, it was always candid. Like, I couldn't get her to be like, say this or answer this. Yeah. Like, after a while, she was like, I know what I'm going to say and I know what I want to, what video I want to make today. So it was funny because I got to like, you know what I mean? She just like formed her own like version of it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And it comes across, like, you couldn't plan what you were doing.
No.
Like, it was obvious.
And there were times where I would tell her, like, please repeat that because it was funny and I just wasn't recording. And she just couldn't get it the same way. And you're like, come on.
This is gold. So super fresh. Your mom just passed away. But what I really want to focus on is how you're dealing with it. In terms of this cookbook that you're making. Can you tell?
Yeah, well,
more about
it's really cute because, like, I have a video of her, like, 3 months before she passed. I have a video of me, like, telling her, like, I really want to do a cookbook with her. And she, like, smiles and she gets really, like, excited about it. And she's like, oh, really? You didn't tell me that? And I was like, yeah, I think it'd be great and we could do it. And she's like, oh, well, you'll, like, really, like, have to, like, measure things because, you know, I don't know anything.
Oh, yeah, they never
do. So she's like, oh, you really have to measure it all out. And I was like, yeah, we'll do it and it'll be really fun. And she was like, all right. So, like, I'm really happy that I have that video of her because, like, I posted a video of me cooking her meatballs, like, a few days after she died.
Yeah.
I, like, was in Trader Joe's, and I just, like, I couldn't find the frozen meatballs that I liked, so I was like, all right, fine, I'll just make her meatballs. So, like, I grabbed everything, ran home, made it, and I, like, filmed me making them and, like, just talked about her a little bit, and I, like, put it on my Instagram, and people were like, just make the cookbook. And so I was like, I should just make the cookbook.
Yeah.
And I have enough things to, like, go off of, and then my brother has more of the recipes.
Oh, does he actually have things written down?
He just has them in his own head, and he can recreate
them.
Everyone
has everything in their
head.
And
then her sister's still alive, so her sister knows a lot of the same recipes. But, you know, they always joke that, like, she can never cook as good as her.
Oh, yeah,
and even she said it. Like, I called my aunt and I was like, you know, Thea, like, can you teach me? And she's like, you know, I don't know how to cook as good as your mom. She always used to make fun of me, she said. She always used to say, like,
trauma, the yeah, trauma.
Even her daughter, my cousin, was like, yeah, but you know, your mom used to roast her. Like, what are you, stupid? You can't make a simple cheese pie? You can't make a simple pasticcio? So there's all that drama, but it's all close enough.
Oh, I love that.
I'll be able to recreate. I'm recreating a lot of it just through, like, you know, pulling things back here or there, but it's really coming together. All the recipes, like, I'm missing only like 5 of them. So, like, I'm really getting close.
Oh, so you're cooking a dinner.
I'm getting really close. I know. Yes. Hello. I should have brought something here, but I'm getting close on that front. And then it's just building out all the stories I want to tell and that content.
Oh, I love that. And you have like an Instagram channel. I don't know what
I do. Yeah.
Broadcast channel. So you could follow the journey of the recipes and things like that. And that's so interesting. So when you are cooking these recipes, well, first, are you making them like your mother, or is it kind of off, or is it like, do you feel like, you know, she's with you, cooking with you, or
everything,
like,
I've made so far, like, low-key, I've like killed it, like, not gonna lie.
Like, I was low-key
and like
low-key,
not gonna lie, I'm not a cook. I don't know, I'm not good.
Okay.
And I'm not like, I at least I didn't know, like, because the things I cook for myself, it's like, all right, microwave,
yeah.
Put this in a pan, yeah. Fry it up, call it a day. Exactly. You know what I mean? Add some garlic if I'm feeling fresh, you know, but like nothing crazy. Yeah. So I was shocked, and I've never baked before. So the baking part of it, I was like, oh, this is gonna. I didn't have a mixer. I had nothing.
Yeah.
I had to like go get like a baking tray. So I was like, let's do this. And I made a cake, and it was like it turned out like exactly like my mother's.
Oh wow!
So I was like, this is a little weird. Okay,
the maybe
it's coming to
like
me. Yes. Yeah. Well, it's so funny because my aunt called. We were talking. She was giving me the recipes, and she was like, "Have you seen your mom's ghost yet?" And I was like, no. And she was like, oh, I've seen her twice.
What?
And I was like, are you bragging right now? Are you really FaceTiming? I was sitting here trying to make a nice cookbook for my mom, and you're like, well, you haven't seen her yet. Does she even love you?
Not the ghost.
Did she even? I'm getting ghosted by my mom's ghost
that
out
is
here.
So ridiculous.
It's,
I love that.
Crazy.
That's such an immigrant thing to say, like, oh, the ghost came to me.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
What are you talking
the
about?
The funny part is I call my dad. My dad's like, oh, I saw her already. My brother saw her already. So I'm the only one. I'm the only
is
one.
That's true. Maybe
she wants nothing to do with
maybe
me.
Maybe she's in the recipes.
I know. No.
But, like, I guess in terms of, that's amazing. So you're cooking the recipes really well. And then is it a healing process? Or is it like, or is it just something that you're doing right now? Is it like, tell us, like, tell our guests more. Because, like, at some point, we might all have to deal with the fact that our parents are no longer here, someone, a guardian passes away, and it just, like, even right after it happened, you were just so, like, you were here for the audiences, which is crazy because you're grieving, but it's almost like you were soothing the audiences as well.
Yeah, well, it's so weird because it was like, it is really strange to, like, I, you know, I so wish I had waited like a month to even say anything, but then, I mean, honestly, like, it would have gotten around, so I would have had to address it. So I'm glad that I had control over addressing it. But, like, it did really feel like I had to, like, kind of be like, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay, other people. It's
well,
my mother.
Because you have
guys
to understand that when she died, it was in Greece. And we were in Greece for, like, 5 more days. So I was walking around Athens getting recognized and people coming up to me. And then they were, like, I had a family come up to me, and, like, three girls, like, young, like, you know, in their teens or whatever,
yeah.
And one of them started crying, and I was like, what's going on? And then I had to be like, it's okay,
no,
but I was like,
it's crazy.
Like, what, I am like, yeah, and I was on the phone, so, like, they came up to me, like, it was, like, a whole thing, but, you know, it is, like, it did feel like I felt like a weird obligation to it,
That is so weird and interesting. It's like your grief, but the other people are grieving with you, but it's your thing.
But they were, a lot of people were grieving. And, you know,
I was sad. I was like, oh my God. Like, it was dramatic.
It was very sudden too.
It was very, I mean, it's so weird. Everyone's, but yeah.
I know. It was, she was young. She was 65. So it was sudden, but people really were sending me messages like with like long stories about her where I was like, you never met her though. Like, but they would like reference things that I was like, yes, yes, that is a memory that I guess we all share now. Yes.
That is so funny.
And, but yeah, we're laughing, but it was very beautiful. It is very beautiful. Very beautiful because I can go back to like all those comments, like on all those posts. Like I really can go back to all those messages now and be like, oh wow, like look at this.
Yeah,
that makes me feel so much better.
Yeah,
you know,
super
like just to have that. And like I do, like even today, like I just got caught in a wormhole and I was like going through and like there was comments on old videos of her that were new. Of people being like, oh, I miss this. This is one of my favorites. So, like, I really miss her. And that makes me feel really good that she's still, like, on people's minds in a way, you know?
No, most definitely. Definitely made, like, a huge impact. And, like, it was, she's definitely one of those people that you just don't forget.
Yeah, she's
and the
sassy.
Way you, exactly. And the way you, like, kind of immortalized her online. I don't even know if that's the right word. I don't know.
I built a shrine to her. It was a shrine.
It's kind of like, it's very special in that regard. So how, you guys are always like, it seems like you guys are, you're always laughing. Like, you record your dad. He's always, you guys are really in high spirits, usually all the time.
Yeah.
Is, like, the humor a way to deal with the grief, or is, like, is it a part of it?
Well, I think she always talks about death a lot.
Okay.
So I think she, like, prepped us a little bit. Because, like, even before she died, there's a video I have of her where she's like, what are you guys going to do when I die? What are you going to do when I die? And I'm like, starve. And she's like, exactly. And you're like, she just was so, she always talked about it. Like, every time you talked to her, she was always talking about dying. So there's a certain sense of like death around us all the time. I think like my family had a lot of death around it. Like her brothers died when they were really young.
Mm.
So she always like, she lost two of her brothers young. She lost her other brother and she lost her mom. She lost both her parents when she was young. She lost so many people. And then we lost our grandma when we were young. And then we never even knew my dad's dad, so our grandpa, we didn't really know him that much, or like all that part of the family. So we were always like surrounded by death weirdly. So I think in our family, it feels like something, I don't know, that we, I don't know, like we didn't ever shy away from it.
No, that's
and
so
we didn't
interesting.
Need to,
because usually people, like in, definitely in the black, my mom's black American, and like you can't even mention death. It's like, in the blood of Jesus, baby. I'm saying, it's like,
I'm not
can
saying
we
it's
talk
all
about
Greeks,
a will
yeah.
or something?
Yeah,
like, you can't talk about like, the blood of Jesus. And so you're not saved, lady. Yeah. It's like,
but the thing is it's not like, but Greeks don't also like, they don't prepare for the death. Talk about it. But if you try to find like a password or a safe or any of that information, nothing. Nothing.
Like, come on.
Nothing. My dad's been looking for like several of my mom's pieces of gold for like months now. And he's like, I can't find anything. It's like so funny. Like there was no preparation. Just and like, all she did though, every time was be like, well, you know, I'm going to die soon. And I'm like, okay, but like,
what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And no. So that's so interesting.
Yeah.
So the cookbook, there's important dates around there? Are you still working? Like how
I'm just
going?
I'm just gonna try to get it done as soon as possible, honestly. I think it's like, I don't know, and I think also there's a part of it that's like writing it from the perspective of someone that's like actively grieving is kind of interesting,
because
I'll be able to look back on that and be like, I don't know if I feel any of that anymore, or like I don't know if any of that I don't know if I would have said things like that. Because there's something interesting about, like, you're grieving, like, you're going through something, like, even 2 months ago, I'm like, I was an idiot. I said dumb things, or I did stupid stuff, and I was making really weird decisions, and I don't know, it's like, I'm writing it from, like, the perspective of, like, I'm actually going through this, and, like, these are all stories that have like been compiled through the years and like as they come to me. It's like it's going to be like a story throughout, like
I love that.
It'll be like evergreen kind of like stories that will go with each recipe, but it's going to be a through line of like basically this woman's biography.
Oh, I love
you
that.
You know, it's going to tell her story. It's going to tell stories of like what she was like as a mom. I want it to tap into like everybody in the family. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I love that.
It's going to have like, you know, like my dad's favorite recipe is going to be in there. My brother's favorite recipes are going to be in there, and like something for everybody from the family that will be able to like be mixed in with just her personal story as well.
Oh, I love that. And is that a healing experience for you? And is it helping the family? Or
I think it is going to help the family. Like, I think it's going to be great to like be able to have this as a document that we can just give to anybody in our family.
Oh, I love
you know, it's like once my aunt dies, it's done. Like the women of this part,
true.
You know what I mean? This food thing is going to die.
Yeah.
So we have to collect these things somehow.
That's true.
And so we'll have it. And like now my brothers are going to have it. And then my niece and nephew are going to have it. And like they were raised by my mom. Yeah. You know, like my mom raised them until they were like 6 and 3. So like they spent 6 days a week with my mom. Mm. So like even my niece is like the spitting image of her, like aww, her mannerisms, the way she talks. Like if like I don't want to give like a 3-year-old a cigarette, but if I gave her a cigarette, she would be like exactly like my mother.
Oh, that's
insane. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I
like
saying,
I think like when they get older and like, you know, they're not going to remember their grandma at all. So it's going to be great for them to be like, ah, I have this at least.
Yeah.
You know, I can make her food. I can make like the thing that I loved as a baby.
No, I love that. And it's such a like, it's such a interesting way to put your energy into like, you know, something like your parent passing away. So other people like go on, you know, drinking, drug binge, stuff like that.
I've been doing that too.
I'm thinking about one person in particular.
Yeah. No, I've been doing that too. It's just like on the side, like like 2 hours a day I do the cookbook and then the rest I'm like,
but at least you're
I'm so kidding.
At least
but you know, it's also a love letter to like the people that did follow her. Like
yeah,
it's like
true.
Those people, like I, you know, again, going back to like, I owed them some, like I, not that I owed them something when she died and I had to like, you know, feed the beast, but it was like, I do owe them like a bit of that closure too. And so
I mean,
like,
they are definitely, people are grieving.
It's like a thank you letter to them to be like, you did this, you know what I mean? Like you were a part of this too. So like, here's a document of like her whole life that you can now have too.
No, I love that. I can't wait to get the book as well.
Yeah.
So that's one way. Are you going to a grief counselor? What are other things that you're doing? Or maybe you're still going through it. Like,
no, I have a therapist and I smoke a lot of weed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I smoke a lot of weed too.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
my therapist is great. I love my therapist.
Okay, that's good. That's good that you have a therapist. And then, like, do you have any advice for anyone who might experience something similar in the future or not really? Or
well, I don't know. It's so my therapist gave me great advice and it really, like, really, really helped me those first 2 months, which is like, and, you know, obviously take this with a grain of salt, but he was like, follow any instinct or impulse that you have right now, even if you don't think it's right, or even if you don't think it's like whatever, it's like just really follow those impulses because like they'll make you feel better. So it's like if you want to go buy something, go buy something. If you want to like go have like a weird sex experience, go do that. Like just go do things that really like fill that like need to like, I don't know, guess like fill those impulses because it's like you're gonna feel better after it. And it like it, I did do that, and I think he did that. He gave me this advice knowing that like I'm not crazy, like fully knowing that I'm not gonna go off the rails.
Yeah, you're not
like
gonna
my
be
friends
one
were joking. They were like, you should show up with like a track and be
these
like, I followed your advice. Yeah and like coke off my nose, like I did it. But he was like, you know, obviously you're not gonna do anything crazy, but he was like, go follow those impulses and I think you'll feel better. And that really was such great advice because I did do that, and like I did follow those impulses and they led me to like strange paths that brought me a lot of joy.
Oh, I love that. But it was great advice for you, but maybe not for other people.
Not for other people, but it worked and like it make it work for you.
No, I love that. Thank you so much for sharing your story here today, Gus, and telling, I can't wait for the cookbook. Like, is there a place where people can go and find it? Or is it like,
no, I mean, I'm trying to sell it.
Just
so
follow
I'm,
Gus.
I'm
and
just
then you'll
working on it. Yeah. Join the cookbook channel. Cause there's already there's 9.3K. So it's like 9,000
so people.
People
on that
it's insane. So I'm so excited.
I'm a part of the cookbook channel as well. Yeah. You have to sell it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love that. So this is, we're done here pod. So every episode we talk about something we're obviously, done. We're not really done with this, but you're on your continued journey. But we talk about something we're not done with, pop culture or otherwise. Is there anything that you're feeling right now
that I'm not done with?
That you're not done with? Like you think it's too awesome to be done with?
I don't know. I've been rewatching Seinfeld.
Oh my God. How is that going?
It's been great. You know what? I'm going to the Philippines and Thailand next month. And
okay.
I put it on in the background while I was like booking the trip.
Yeah.
And then I made it through like all seasons 3 and 4, and then I was like, let me just rewatch it. So I'm like,
seasons are there?
9.
Oh wow, that's so,
so I have
seasons.
6 episodes left.
Wow.
I'm really almost done, baby.
Oh my God, you've
so,
done it.
But I'm not done with it. Like I think I'm gonna go back because I started at season 3.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna go back and do seasons 1 and 2, even though I don't really like them.
I mean,
yeah.
I can't remember them, but I remember just laughing at Seinfeld. It's on reruns.
Seinfeld is great.
No, it's a great show.
It is so
way
unhinged.
Better than Friends.
Yeah.
Way better than Friends. Ugh. Oh no. Yeah. So you're not done with Seinfeld? Okay, great. I'm trying to think what what I'm not done with. So I was on Netflix, unfortunately. I hate Netflix. I'm kind of done with them because they try to... They tried to charge me extra for somebody looking at my account, and then I had to yell at them. I don't know. Whatever. Oh,
they kicked me off the TV like 3 times,
what
and I was so mad. I had to make my own account because I was so mad.
They're doing some crazy shit. Anyway, yeah. I'm done with that. But what I'm not done with is the fact that Netflix has been getting a lot of HBO content. So they're getting like they're getting all the HBO. So like the whole Insecure is on there. The whole
I loved Insecure.
6 Feet Under is on there. You could just watch all these like old HBO shows. Which HBO doesn't exist anymore. I hate Max. But anyway, I watched like HBO, Insecure on Netflix. And like, I just had never watched it from start to finish.
Oh, it's
before.
So good.
It's such a good, no, I love it. I mean, Issa Rae, yeah, amazing.
It's such a consistently great show.
It's consistent. I just never watched, you know, you watch a season and you're like, but took a while. I was actually getting these braids done. And I was, which took forever. And I was watching it consecutively. And I was like, damn, this show is good. So yeah, shout out to Netflix, even though they're trash, for having all those HBO shows on there. I'm sure there's more. Yeah, there's something like Shameless, I think. I don't know. Maybe that's Showtime. Anyway, they get in the shows. But Gus, where can I guess find you?
At Constantly Gus on all the social media platforms, including my Venmo, baby.
Yes. Make sure y'all never Venmo us. Tip. But thank you guys so much for listening. Gus, thank you so much for being on the pod.
Thanks for having me. This was so fun.
Yay.